We'll ask God's blessing. Father, we bow. We have been blessed, not only in time and in material things, but throughout eternity. We are thankful for a Savior who has provided so much for us, and we are so thrilled to think of His grace and the mercy that He presented to the guilty and the lost, and the forgiveness that He spoke of so tenderly, and the compassion that was so evident in all His words and deeds. And wherever He went, we thank Thee that wherever we might follow Him, we have cause to admire and adore the One who came from heaven on our behalf to suffer in our stead and die our ruined souls to save. And so tonight, as the gospel would be presented once again, we do long to know Thy power and presence, Thy blessing and encouragement, as we bow to give Thee thanks and to look to Thee in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Let's read, please, in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And let's read at verse 1, please. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 1. Now, Ian has spoken on this passage and some of the earlier verses as well, and I'm certainly not trying to brush up his message, but his emphasis was on the Spirit of God's work, and I think you'll probably find that mine's just a little bit different, and we trust that God will bless. John 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. You'll notice how he's presented. He's not presented in his glory, but he's presented as a man. And you'll notice it says he's a ruler of the Jews. He was the teacher of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus. Those words are so special. He came by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles, these signs that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, in other words, here's the truth. I say unto thee, except a man be born anew, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And the fact is, you can educate it, you can make it religious, but it's still flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Verse 9, please. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master? Are you the teacher of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 14, please. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We trust that God will bless his own precious word. I want you to think with me tonight, just as we consider this passage, first of all, about the miracles that caught his attention. And secondly, the meeting with the Savior. Can you imagine? Can you imagine meeting him? I don't know how I would feel if I'd been there, but I've oftentimes tried to imagine what it would be like. the meeting with the Savior. Thirdly, I want you to think about the mystery of it all. Because this man, in spite of his education and his knowledge, he had questions. And it was all confusing to him. For all that he knew, there was a mystery about it all. Then to the must of the new birth. And lastly, the moment of revelation. Trust that the Lord will help us as we consider these things together. Jimi Hendrix, some of you may have heard that name, was a rocker in the U.S., well known and very rich, but lived a very immoral life. And yet, in spite of it, God was dealing in the background with that man, and he felt the emptiness of it all. And one night, after a performance, he enjoyed the great applause and the appreciation of the crowd, and yet he did something extremely strange. He took one of his expensive guitars and he smashed it to pieces on the stage, and he sunk to his knees. He just knelt there. And he looked at his audience, and he said, "If there's anyone here who can tell me how to find real peace, please meet me backstage." Now, Jimi Hendrix was talking to the crowd, because there wasn't one person who rose up from that audience to go into that back room and to tell him that there was God's wondrous plan that would bring peace to his soul. And a few weeks later, he killed himself. Never found what he was seeking. Now, here's a man, and he was seeking, but for a very different reason than Jimi Hendrix. You see, there were things going on. Those things had very special meaning, and he seemed to rise above the norm in the sense that he understood these weren't just miracles, these just weren't wonderful events, but these were signs. And not only that, but he recognized that they were from God. It tells us that in verse 2. He knew this was God at work. And he saw past the miracles, you can see, to the God who made them happen. Have you ever seen a miracle? Of course you have. As you look around this audience, there's many of them in evidence tonight. What God has done in our lives, how He's changed our outlook and our hope, and He's given us so much richly to enjoy. And every one of us saved by His matchless grace is a miracle in which God can be glorified. It's a sign as well to others around. This is what God can do for us, and this is what God could do for you. Signs. Evidence that something was happening in their nation that He needed to see and understand. He knew that there was something different about this person, the Lord Jesus. And of course, he'd have to face the question, am I really willing to risk being wrong to find out the truth? You know, sometimes it's true of many in our world that have such preconceived ideas and notions and even feel the tremendous influence of the people around. But here's a man. I think he made up his mind. Yes, I am. I need to know the truth. I need to seek out this person. And the Spirit of God had been working, as we were hearing before, in revealing to his heart the wonder that God was in their presence. God was in their midst. God was with the Lord Jesus, and he knew it. Now, this would give a dimension to the understanding of Nicodemus, this religious man, that very few others ever caught. The miracle that caught his attention. Think with me, secondly, of the meeting with the Savior. He made it his business to seek him out. He likely was totally unaware of what was going on in the background as to the Spirit of God's work in him, touching his heart, reminding him of scriptures and things that would tell him that there is something about these signs that is a voice to us. Anyway, whatever the case, he wanted some answers. It's a wonderful thing when a soul wants some answers, when they begin seeking after God. And here's this man, and he came to Jesus, it says. What beautiful words. He came to Jesus. You say, but he came at night. Well, at least he came. And maybe it was the only time of the day he had that was available. Maybe it was because of the pressure of opinions around him that he would have to seek him out at night, but at least he came. And he'd never encountered anyone like this man that he was meeting that night. And he came to meet the Savior. I've never encountered anyone like him either. Have you? You dear believers here tonight, why hasn't he changed your life? Hasn't he opened your eyes? Hasn't he given you a new vigor when it comes to life and a hope that nothing else can compare with? He met the Savior, and there was so much potential in it. I want you to think then of the mystery of it all. This challenge is thinking, this encounter with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus directly challenged his feeling, his thinking. This man didn't come out on the short end when it came to intelligence and learning. He was the teacher. He had a reputation, and he had a respect that was second to none in the nation. And yet, here's a man that's brought down to seek for answers that he didn't have, that he could not generate, that he couldn't have found it amongst his own generation. This was a man who was used to a religion of works, and he dedicated his life and his energies to pursuing it. But he never found it completely satisfying. I well remember in a very different way when I was seeking. And I was seeking to find peace within. I was seeking to find pleasure in the world. And I saw the billboard signs with their smiling faces and their uplifted glasses and the activities that they were going in for, and it all seemed so good. And I tried them. I delved into them. And at the moment, seemed to give some pleasure. But the lasting effect was there's something missing. And it was still missing in spite of every attempt to satisfy. Oh, the thrill of finding in Christ that which satisfies forever. Oh, what a difference it made in my life. I remember thinking that those billboards, why, if somebody had just turned them around and showed them the real story, it would have scared people to come to Christ. Because you see the wasted hours and days and money and efforts, and it never brought what they were seeking. Now here's this man who had never found it satisfying, and it had never brought him certainty, and he'd long thought, I'm sure, that he was the kind of person that would expect some special treatment from God. He thought perhaps that the kind of life he lived might give him some acceptance with God. And I have no doubt that he put his whole heart into it, seeking it, following the scriptures, studying the Word of God, being a challenge to his people. And yet, he never found the answer. And he had to face the question that if my ideas do not line up with God's Word, and maybe he was even reminded as this seeking process was going on of a verse that he no doubt knew from the prophet Isaiah, My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. And perhaps he came to that recognition that if my seeking hasn't brought about what God had promised, then I need to forsake my thoughts, and I need to change my ways, and I need to find out what this man has to say, the mystery of it all. He was a good man, but he wasn't good enough. I'm reminded of a young lady who came out to gospel meetings in the state of Ohio. And as she came out to the gospel meetings, her heart was stirred by what she was hearing. And she seemed to sense something deep within that was missing. And her mother, who was a very religious lady, she noticed it too. And she was kind of worried for her daughter that she might get in with these people that were preaching this plain, clear, simple gospel that she really never saw the need of. But she went to her daughter one night to try and counsel her. And she says, "Dear, I noticed that you've been paying a lot of attention to these meetings. But dear, you're a good girl. In other words, you don't need this. You're all right just as you are." And that girl, with the wisdom that God had given her under the sound of the gospel, she said, "Yes, Mom, I am a good girl, but I'm not good enough." And oh, when that strikes the heart and awakens us, as it obviously must have been this man's situation, that in spite of all his goodness and all his teaching and all his knowledge, he wasn't good enough. And while he had questions and concerns, the Lord Jesus doesn't seem to stir this man with all the thoughts that is an answer to his questions, but he just presents to him, "Here's the truth. Here is the truth. Here is the truth. You must be born again." I remember some years ago in the city of Toronto, in the very north part, I was having some meetings with children. And the first night of the meetings, I didn't really recognize too much as to what had happened because I was getting familiar with the children that night. But I spoke on the story of Nicodemus. And I used my text as, "You must be born again." And there was a little fellow there that had come for the first time. His mom had wanted to come with him because she was concerned about the things that he might hear. And she hadn't been able. And when he went home, she wanted to know about it. I mean, naturally, we want to know. And we want to be certain that our children are not getting led astray in some way. And the little fellow said, "You know, that man, he told us," and this was his way of expressing it, "he told us that we got to be born again." And she said, "What?" "Yeah," she said. He said, that man, he was teaching us that we got to be born again and we can't be in heaven." And she said, "Where did he ever get that idea?" And the next night, I was just slightly too late getting to the meeting. I had to kind of rush in and get set up with my props for the children's meeting. And she was waiting at the door. And I kind of said hello as I went by, but I didn't realize she was waiting for me. And after the meeting, she was waiting for me. And she stopped me, and I thanked her for coming and for showing an interest in her child and what he was hearing. And she said, "Well, you know, I kind of enjoyed it." I said, "Good. I hope you come back." She said, "But my son came home last night, and he must have got the wrong idea. Because he told me that you've been teaching them that you've got to be born again, or you'll never be in heaven." And I said, "Yes, that's right." She said, "Where did you get that idea?" And I said, "Well, look at this." I opened my Bible. It almost seemed to fall open at John chapter 3 and verse 7. I put my finger underneath it. I said, "Read that. Marvel not that I said unto thee." I never knew that before. She'd never heard it. And there are thousands in our world who haven't. But oh, that they had the kind of an attitude that lady had that night. As she looked at it, she realized that while she was ignorant of having heard that message ever before in her life, this was a message from the Lord Jesus. That's who was speaking. She could see that as plain as anything when he said, "Marvel not, don't be surprised that I said unto thee, you must be born again." The message is made clear. The message is so plain. And yet he was still asking questions. And he was still talking. And then, as the Savior speaks more, the words falter. And the questions stop. You see, human reasoning cannot work it out. They cannot bring about salvation. It's a divine revelation. And when it hits you, when its truth impacts you, when you see it for yourself, all of a sudden, you got a very different attitude. I think I mentioned one night that just the night I was saved, the preachers had come to my house, and one of them had laid his hand on my shoulder. And it wasn't his words that spoke to me, but the fact that he cared. And for some reason, that really struck me, that this man would care for my soul. And I can remember standing in the door of my bedroom as they had gone off to the prayer meeting at the gospel meeting down the street. And I can remember standing there and saying, "It's time I started caring about my soul." And when I went along to the meeting that night, it was with a totally different outlook and a greater interest in this salvation that I had heard about so frequently. And I had been so blessed by having others tell it out, and many times in a very clear and provocative way that spoke to my heart. And there I was that night, going to a gospel meeting, wanting nothing but God to tell me how I could have this so great salvation, this new birth that the Savior was speaking about. And it seemed as though, as I sat there listening, waiting, longing that God would speak to me, that God would use these men, it just seemed to be a waste of time, because they didn't seem to have much help. And sometimes that's what happens in gospel meetings, because God just wants to show us that it depends on Him and not on us. And that night as they preached, I came to the conclusion by the end of the meeting that all was lost. It was all for naught. That I'd waited too long, and God had given up on me. And yet, after that gospel meeting, sitting down, listening to the gospel, I really didn't intend to go this far, but sitting down, listening to the gospel, explained to me or opened up to me, I could see it as clear as day. And I thought, that's too easy. It's too simple. And one of the preachers said, "Do you want God to make it hard?" That was the last thing I wanted, because deep within, right there in the doorway of my bedroom before I'd gone to the meeting, I had understood I need this. And I want this. And I went longing for it. And I wasn't going to fight any longer. And I wasn't going to find any more excuses. And that's why I want to say about this man's story, that there came that moment of revelation. A sobering dawn of understanding. As the Savior opens up his mind, because the Lord Jesus says, in effect, "You can't figure this out. And you'll never figure this out. But pay attention to what I'm telling you." And we have the message in verse 14. This was a story the Lord Jesus didn't need to elaborate on. He didn't need to tell the old story over. This man was well aware of Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. And the Savior tells him, as he does in such a graphic way, just like that. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. What was wrong with those people that they needed a serpent? Well, they were bitten. They were dying. Why? It was because of their sin. And they needed rescue. They needed salvation. They needed deliverance. And the Lord Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, and just as true as it was that day for men and women, boys and girls, to look away from themselves and see God's answer for their need, he says, just like that, the Son of Man has to be lifted up. And did the light dawn immediately? Did there come this flash of understanding? I'm not entirely sure, but I know he'd heard the message that he needed to hear. And the Savior's work was presented to him. He says, just in the self-same way as that serpent was lifted up, so I must be lifted up, so that the likes of you and all mankind who would simply rest in the God who provided his Son should not perish, never go to hell, but have everlasting life. Was it that moment that he got it? Or was it in contemplation that his heart was moved to grasp it? Well, we know it did. And we know that that man trusted the one who had presented to him the glorious message of salvation. God had been moving in his life, no doubt, no question about it. Things that happened for which he had no explanation brought home the certainty that he had a need. And as he makes his way to the Savior, he finds out that the one that he was seeking had the answer to the need of his soul. I trust that God will bless his word and encourage our hearts as well to think that he's still the self-same God he was. And men can still meet him, and he still saves precious souls. Thank you.